Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Annually, on November 11th, Americans together honor veterans who have served in the United States Armed Forces and who, with both courage and dedication, have defended our nation in times of both war and peace. Veterans Day celebrations take place. Veterans Day celebrations take place, including parades, ceremonies, and moments of silence, acknowledging this service that protects the freedoms and security of all Americans, as well as the democratic principles on which our country was founded. President Woodrow Wilson first proclaimed Armistice Day on November 11th, 1919, the one-year anniversary of the end of World War I. And on that day, back in 1919, he called upon Americans to reflect on those who had served in that brutal war to end all wars and to gratefully acknowledge the peace restored on Armistice Day. In 1938, Congress named Armistice Day a national holiday, and in 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower and Congress officially renamed November 11th to Veterans Day to acknowledge all U.S. veterans, past and present, regardless of the time and place of their service. In 2025, over 17.5 million living veterans remind us that the rights and opportunities that Americans enjoy are sustained through military service and the sacrifice of those military members. Our shared gratitude on Veterans Day means more than we could ever say in thanks to these 17.5 million living veterans. We recognize the duty, the courage, and the sacrifice of former military personnel, as well as their families who serve alongside that service member. You have strengthened our nation, and there is never enough that we can do to repay the overwhelming debt of gratitude owed to every member of our military. With that thanks and fervent respect, it's my privilege and humble honor to be joined this afternoon by Lieutenant Colonel, retired from the U.S. Air Force, Chris Ford. Welcome to the program, Chris. It's a real pleasure to have you. Chris, can you hear me?
There you are, Maggie.
There you are. Hello, hello. We'll continue to have you come through audio on the phone, and it's great to see you on the video screen. Thank you, first of all, sir, for your service to our nation and for your family service. I think we always need to remember not just the member who served, but the family that serves right along with that member. Thank you so much, Chris.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Maggie. And you're right. I find that the military spouses seem to carry the heavier load in many cases, trying to keep everything afloat while we're serving our nation. And that was my experience with my family as well.
You are CEO of an organization called Stop Soldier Suicide. Tell us about the organization and why you are now spending your days dedicated to this fight, to this effort.
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. Actually, that's my prior role. I was the CEO of Stop Soldier Suicide for about 6 years, where we focused on providing clinical interventions to at-risk veterans who were struggling with thoughts or behaviors of suicide. Today, I'm fortunate to now lead a coalition-led effort founded by USAA Reach Resilience and Humana Foundation called Face the Fight. This one-of-a-kind initiative collects about 300 organizations and nonprofits and government agencies all working together in the community to address the veteran suicide crisis. As you may know, more than 125,000 veterans have died by their own hands since 2001, and we find that wholly unacceptable. About 6,500 veterans die by their own hand each year. And this powerful coalition has come together since 2023 to address this issue head on.
Thanks, Chris, for the correction, and you have my apologies. Sometimes I don't get the chance to vet all of my information coming in, so I appreciate your patience with me, sir, and your gracious correction. Folks, you can find out more about We Face the Fight at wefacethefight.org. 6,500 veterans per year take their own lives. What's being done through your organization and a number of others? We mentioned the Stop Soldier Suicide. There's another organization called the Overwatch Project. You can find more about them at overwatch.org. Lots of organizations. Why does this seem to be such a sticky and pernicious and widespread problem? And what is your organization doing to combat it?
Yeah, it's a very helpful question, Maggie. Since 2001, and actually much earlier, veteran suicide rates have exceeded the rates of non-veterans. It hasn't always been the case, but recent events in our nation's history have led to this disparity where veterans are dying by suicide at a higher rate than those that haven't served. If it was a simple problem to solve, it would have already been solved. Suicide is a very complex issue. There is no single pathway to suicide. I do believe most suicides are preventable. The challenge is that it's really hard to find those 6,500 veterans this next year that might take their life out of the 17 million plus that live each day. So it's not like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's looking for a needle in a landfill of needles, unfortunately. So it's really hard to quickly identify with precision which veterans are most at risk at the individual level. But we know that there are certain risk markers and factors that contribute to suicide risk. Some of those go all the way back to adverse childhood experiences. It's one of the strongest correlations to veteran suicide is that many service members have really difficult trauma in their childhood. They join the military service, they're exposed to combat, that risk doubles. And if they experience moral injury, which is basically seeing or doing something against their foundational morals, that risk doubles again. So the compounding effect of all of those exposures become really difficult challenges that often are buried at the individual level and not addressed in a meaningful way. And so when you take the uniform off, when you leave military service and you lose your sense of community, purpose, and mission, and all those things that come from serving our nation by wearing the cloth of our nation, it can start to unravel pretty quickly. And those symptoms could include homelessness, depression, unemployment, relational problems, substance abuse, and eventually suicidal thoughts or behavior. That's the bad news. The good news is there is a lot that is being done and can be done to prevent these realities. So when USAA founded this initiative a few years ago, to your point, I was the CEO at Stop Soldier Suicide, and I was an advisor to the team at USAA, helping them think about the art of the possible of what could USAA do for the number one issue facing our military community and our members. And from my field experience in leading and scaling Stop Soldier Suicide, I tried to offer our perspective. And what we found worked there, and that what USA is investing in here, is evidence-informed strategies proven to reduce suicide risk. So those include telemental health therapies, group therapies. Some of them are called CAMS or BCBT. I won't get too technical here. But those evidence-based therapies for people who enter and are eligible for those therapies are proven very resourceful in reducing repeated suicidal thoughts or behaviors. Getting upstream from that, we're also training and equipping everyday Americans on the right questions to ask for people they're worried about. You can simply ask and have a conversation with people, are you okay? And if they're not, listen and connect them to the resources that we offer on our website, wefacethefight.org, or at the VA or other credible community resources that can get them the care and support they need. When we created We Face the Fight, it was a we for a reason, in that you don't have to face these struggles alone. And we believe the community, the country, has the power to help us chase after this issue to see a different future.
Folks, that's retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Chris Ford, currently with WeFaceTheFight.org through USAA, formerly the CEO of Stop Soldier Suicide. Folks, if you know someone who is in need, who may be struggling, please encourage them to check out the VA's website. Of course, WeFaceTheFight.org. If you or someone you love is in an immediate mental health crisis, remember you can dial 988. This is a 24/7 crisis line. Press 1. You can also chat at veteranscrisisline.net/chat. That is veteranscrisisline.net/chat. Let me ask you a pretty brass tacks question, Chris. Do these organizations and the outreach have the funding, whether through donations and philanthropy or through government funding sources, to reach the veterans who need to be reached and to create the behavioral therapies, the mental health resources, the group therapies that are effective, as you pointed out, at stemming the tide, an epidemic really that we're facing as a country related to veteran suicide?
Of course, more resources always help, right? Especially if they're smartly invested. So I would say for those who have capacity to give to evidence-based, effectual, credible, community-based nonprofits that are doing meaningful work, please give. They could use your support. If you're looking for organizations that are credible to give to, you can find them on our website, where we list a lot of our grantees and partners that are doing really impactful work. Government resources, obviously, there's a lot of resources in the VA and within the DoD, and applying those to programmed efforts to find and identify service members and veterans in or near crisis is a top priority for both departments, and continuing to make those investments is really, really important. So we've invested just in our 3-year history over $42 million in impact grants directly to organizations doing really meaningful work that we can measure outcomes to. And we'll continue to invest in those because, to your point, those resources are life-changing and life-saving.
Folks, again, this is Chris Ford with WeFaceTheFight.org, a veterans suicide intervention organization through USAA. You can find those locally based programs if you would like it to give to ensure that they're going to programs that do use evidence-based therapies. Again, that is WeFaceTheFight.org. Chris is going to stick around with me. We'll talk more on this crucial topic on the other side. Don't go anywhere. As we acknowledge, support, and reaffirm our commitment to dedicate the resources to be there for our veterans, so many million of them, we owe them this. 17.5 million living veterans. Come back with me. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.